Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. I'm Dane Martinez, known as the statistician, and by my side, as usual, every weekday morning is my man, Kevin Walsh, as we put the fun in functional sports content. Kev, what a day in the association yesterday, right? And we talked about this yesterday. We wondered why these games wouldn't happen simultaneously, like sometimes they happen in soccer. Now, obviously, the amount of courts they have in the bubble and the logistics of that would be one thing. But here's how it played out, right? We knew a few things, right? We knew that the Suns could win and still be on the outside looking in, right? Well, they got their win, 128-102 over the Dallas Mavericks. Devin Booker puts in 27. He continues to impress. They go undefeated in the bubble, and we'll see if it was good enough. The Grizzlies, who everybody thought was going to be limping in. We didn't know what was going to happen with the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, the Grizzlies get the job done, 119-106. They keep their hopes alive, right? Then the next thing we were going to see were the Spurs. However, as we had discussed already, Kev, because the Grizzlies and the Suns had already won, that in essence rendered the Spurs game moot and the 22-season streak of the Spurs getting to the playoffs was ended. They didn't take care of business anyway, losing to the Jazz 118-112. And then that set the stage for the Portland Trailblazers, Kev, right? Because they were in the spot that I think the NBA wanted, right? So they win, they get in, they're the 8th seed, the catbird seed against Memphis in this play-in over the weekend. If they lost, however, Memphis then, all of a sudden, even after they're limping, even after Jaren Jackson being out, even after everyone pouring on them, they would have been the 9th seed. So there was jokes like the Phoenix Suns could have come out and started cheering like we see in March Madness in those regions. And Kev, what a game it was. Portland had it at the beginning. The Nets made a furious second half comeback and run. They then took the lead. And then Damian Lillard in the fourth quarter, you can see, he was like, nah, I'm not letting this slip away. Literally shooting from the logo, literally making incredible passes. The Nets were double teaming him in the backcourt, Kev, to force the ball out of Dame Dollar's hands. He winds up with another 40-plus game. But I also got to say, Kev, Caris LeVert on the other side is joke. And I got to tell you, you laughed at me when I said it once, but next year, Brooklyn may have a big three with Kyrie, KD, and Caris LeVert. But that's another
thing for another day.
You did. Portland, though, is now in the catbird seat, does get the 8th seed. They will play Memphis this weekend. Damian Lillard has to be the MVP of the bubble. The man is averaging over 50 in his last three games, Kevin.
Yeah, look, he's definitely bubble MVP. There's no two ways about it. they went out there and, you know, season on the line, they got the job done, and it came down to one Caris LeVert shot.
Balls in the air. It's a make or miss league.
it is crazy to say. Look, I think Lillard played the whole second half as the TJ McCollum. 44 minutes for the two of them. 37 for Melo and Gary Trent Jr. I mean, these guys put full shifts in to get the job done. I do want to quickly say, you got to give Brooklyn their credit, man. As we welcome the radio audience right here on the early line, they didn't have to do this. This was completely unnecessary in terms of, you know, their seeding. But I give credit to Jock Vaughn for going out there, you know, getting a legitimate playoff type of feel look from his group and getting that effort. You got to give Brooklyn a lot of credit.
You do. You don't give them any chance against the Raptors, though, in the round one, do you?
Well, that's the point that I've been dying to make. I mean, because as far as I can tell, the Lakers are on the ropes. As far as I can tell. I mean, those boys are about to be had. But the Nets have no chance against the Raptors. Now, that's just based on what I hear. Tell me how that works out, though. How does that make any sense after what we just saw here?
I'm not saying it makes any sense. I'm asking you the question, okay? Because you're right. They have looked amazing, shorthanded. Remember their win against the Milwaukee, the way they, with absolutely nothing to play for, they are showing up and showing out. And boy, I got to tell you something. Caris LeVert, it looks sloppy when he goes to the hole.
Oh, it's very awkward.
It really does. It looks awkward. It looks out of control. It looks like he's about to lose the ball every kind of spin move he makes, but he'll get to his spot and it's buckets. You know, like, I'm very impressed with Caris LeVert. He needs to be in the kind of all bubble team. I know we're going to talk about that at some point this weekend as well, Kev. But for these Portland Trailblazers, I mean, we're going to talk about the play-in round with Memphis when we come back, right? And, you know, the rest of the games as well. Are you on the train? Are you buying into Portland? I mean, they have all the ingredients. You have said also, Nurkic all season, they were a mid-level team. I know you don't like the defense, though.
Yeah, they gave up 133 to the Nets with their season on the line. They gave up 131 to the Mets.
Can they outscore people? Like Houston wants to? Can they just go like in that way and just try to be like, okay, we'll beat you 137, 133?
That's what they're going to have to try and do. That's what they're going to have to try and do. But when you come up against the number one seed in the West, it's just not that simple. This is awesome. But just he played 44 minutes against the Nets, and they won by a point.
Yeah, and the ball was in the air with Caris LeVert having a chance to send them home. There are still games today that you can bet on, although they don't mean much. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Welcome back in, everybody, to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh, where we put the fun in functional sports content. Kev, if you're going to wake up bright and early and get all this information, try to make it a more profitable day, you might as well have some fun while we're doing it. And to be quite honest, Kev, I think the teams that are in action in the NBA today may have a little bit of fun. Remember we saw a couple of days ago when it was like Philly and Toronto playing a game, it was a lot of the bench guys, what these guys were carrying on the sidelines back and forth, right? I think we're going to see some of that. Let me tell you about these games today. Okay, you got Denver and Toronto, right? You got the Heat and the Pacers, which is, they're just going to play each other for the next like 2 weeks in a row, right? You got the Sixers and the Rockets, and then you got the Thunder and the Clippers. None of these games have totals. That's something you've always said to look for, right? Because it is so much of an unknown with no spots really or positioning really on the line for the eight teams in action today. Thunder and Clippers, they don't even have a lineup on the board at all with our partners and friends on FanDuel. You know, I told you that they may take this a little bit lighthearted. It may be kind of different rotations, different minutes allocations. What are you expecting to see from these eight teams, Kev, that are in the playoffs but have nothing on the line today?
So I'm actually excited to talk about these because I want to offer something up to you that I think is doable. I think is the way I want to approach these games, but I might be pulling off a far too small of a sample size here. Now, I know we don't have any totals, but that's okay. Work with me here. We are looking at what should be meaningless games. Okay, if there was going to be a meaningful game, right, it would be Heat Pacers because you can secure your virtual fans for what would be Game 7. But
is that on the line, playing, really? It is like the virtual fans on that wall for games like 1, 2, and 5 or whatever? Okay.
Yeah, legitimately, like that is on the line. But we know that, you know, obviously the home court does not matter. The Heat are playing nobody. The Pacers are playing next to nobody. So the question I have for you, though, is we look at yesterday's 7-game slate. And I would say to you that there were 2 nothing games. Now, you might tell me that there were more than that. But I would say that the Wizards were still fighting to not go winless in this reset. And we saw them win that game. We talked about that yesterday, why that was possible. And as much as the Spurs situation was over, Donovan Mitchell was still oddly playing out there. And that game was supposed to mean something. And, you know, I don't think the mindset is comparable to the teams that are playing today. But I think the 2 games that are comparable, Kings-Lakers, Pelicans-Magic, a game that saw 258, and a game that saw 260 points. And my plan here today, Dane, is to take all 4 of these games, play every single one of them over, and not watch a second.
Yeah, I like that. That blind over, right? We are seeing this offense in the bubble. And when you say the way they may treat it, it may look like a glorified all-star game, right? Back and forth, outlet passes. Yeah, I understand that. It's hard to pick a side when you don't know the motivation, right? But they may just keep on going up and down the court and then get ready for the playoffs. Well, Kev, the playoffs, technically, I guess you can say they begin tomorrow in the association, right? This is going to be that 8-9. And let's just reset this for people. The Portland Trailblazers are the 8 seed. The Memphis Grizzlies are the 9 seed, okay? And Kevin before has called it, and I like the way he thinks about it. Consider this, the 8 seed Portland is in essence up 1-0 in a best of 3 series. Okay. So on Saturday, if Portland wins the game and beats Memphis, then they're in. They see the Lakers next week, I believe on Tuesday. If they lose, though, then this kind of best of 3 series would be 1-1. They'd play a decisive game on Sunday in that scenario with the winner of that game then advancing to see the Lakers. When I look at this game on Saturday that starts at about 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, I will be on in-game live with my man Gabe Morency talking about the start of this one. But Kev, the Portland Trailblazers are 7-point favorites in this first game. Now, I know everyone's on Damian Lillard. The man is averaging 50 a game over his last 3. And we know about the narrative with the Grizzlies, right? No Jaren Jackson, how the Grizzlies have not played well in the bubble. Are you going to think that that just continues and the Blazers are a kind of obvious choice here? What do you do with these 7 points?
Yeah, so this is going to be really interesting here because you've got a Memphis team that I got to be honest with you, I do feel bad for because we saw these two teams play one another in the 8 seeding games. Game went to overtime, 4-point win for the Blazers. It was a great game. Memphis, right. We should be talking about, are they live here or not? But the Jaren Jackson injury changed everything. And there were a number of games, Dane, where Memphis was fighting for their playoff lives, the ability to hold on to that 8 seed. And it didn't matter. They just didn't have enough juice. Now, I know they got that win against Milwaukee. The Bucks couldn't have looked worse yesterday. I mean, the Bucks could have not looked worse in that game. We know Giannis didn't play. So it just doesn't hold as much water. But I'll ask you this question. Portland, when they played Memphis, closed as 3.5-point favorites in that first go-around.
Jaren Jackson, before the Jaren Jackson injury?
Yes, it was. Okay. Jaren Jackson, though, is not worth 3.5 points. Maybe worth a point, maybe a point and a half. Plus, right. People will want to bet against it. So I would say to you, technically, the value would be here on Memphis. But we will continually be talking about motivation. And if you're the Blazers, you want to get this over with. Because first of all, you don't want to have to play another an elimination game. That's worrying. But also, it's very taxing. Anthony Davis is going to have a week off in between when he last played and this first matchup against whether it's Memphis or it's Portland. And the rest of the Lakers have not played since what will have been Thursday. It's a long gap. Compared to a Blazers team that just had to put in a 44-minute shift, will probably have to play their guys a full complement of minutes to get this job done here, and then maybe have to do it again. So I think we're looking at a Blazers team that should be incredibly motivated to get the job done. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, we've got two cracks here at this. Like, no, let's end this, and let's end this now. To be also fair, though, with Portland, these last two games, they haven't covered. Okay, they've been winning. True. They've not been covering. I don't think they've covered in the last 4 outings. In fact, 0-4 ATS. We're a ways out. My early lean, though, might just be to take the 7 points with Memphis. Hope they show fight, but probably still expect Portland to get the job done.
Yeah, I expect Portland to get the job done as well. The question for me is if the 7 points is too big of a number. I know that Jackson makes up part of that. Maybe the momentum and these teams just going in different directions makes up the rest. But obviously the public steam on the Blazers and Dame Dollar right now is a part of it as well. You know, we'll talk about this, of course, next week, starting on Monday with the early line. But then the playoffs will be there, right? And two things to note real quick. One is that it looks like they're going to go 4 games a day. Right, Kev, it looks like at 1, 4:30, 4, 6, 9, it looks like those are the tip-offs, right? You're going to have a game at 1:30, a game at 4, a game at 6:30, and a game at 9. And so it'll be wall-to-wall basketball, at least here in the first round. The other thing to note, the Houston Rockets, who don't play until the very end on Tuesday, you know, the Lakers versus whoever it is will be that last game on Tuesday. But one thing to note, is Russell Westbrook is not 100%. It looks like Westbrook is even going to miss at least the first couple of games of this series. This is a huge piece of injury news as the Rockets look to take care of the Thunder in the first round.
That's right, man. We got the Thunder here for that first game at pretty much even money to make it happen. And I thought the Rockets could be had by this Thunder team if Westbrook was healthy. This is now going to be a tough mountain for the Rockets to climb. I'm going to be excited to see how that line moves. And one other game I want to mention to see if the line moves at all. Brooklyn getting 10.5 against Toronto. People are going to be excited about this Brooklyn team. But do keep in mind, the Raptors are laying the same number that the 8th seed Portland Trail Blazers did. That is, now maybe that's just an awful line. And to be fair, it was a terrible line when you consider the fact that the ball was in the air. And they were only down by 1 with a chance to win the game. So the line was terrible there. And Brooklyn was the side in that game. But that just jumps out to me that the 2-seed Raptors are laying the same number that the 8th-seed Blazers laid to this Brooklyn Nets unit.
And we know that the Blazers defense and the Raptors defense are night and day. When we come back, though, there's a UFC pay-per-view card tomorrow night. So we got to bring in our guy, Jay, the Sports Keg CEO. Keep it locked on that. More of the early line coming up next. But for now, check the news update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. And by everybody, that means including our radio audience around the country here on Sports Grid, where we give you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, known as the Spitting Statistician. I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, as usual. And as usual, for a Friday morning, we are bringing in our guy, Jay, the Sports Keg CEO, because we have a UFC pay-per-view card to get into for this weekend. I believe it is UFC 252. Jay, how you doing, brother man? Good to have you back on the show.
I'm doing well, my friend. I've been looking forward to this pay-per-view for a while. I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, I am too. And I want to start off on this. Okay, we're going to get into the fights. I know you and Kevin like to geek out. I got to find out how to bet the Sugar Show, for goodness sakes. But I want to start here, Jay. What happened to Fight Island? Okay, because like we're back in Vegas for this one. I know it's like the smaller octagon or the larger octagon and all that stuff. I loved going over to Abu Dhabi. I thought it was cool. What's going on? Are we done with that? Because we're back in Vegas here for 252.
No, we're definitely not done. Dana White said that he's buying a house out there. They plan on being there multiple times between now and about a year from now. So Dana White's planning that. He doesn't think that the UFC gets back to normal for at least a year. So I think that they will be back in Fight Island either at the end of September or early October. So Fight Island is not dead.
Let me ask you somewhat on that topic, because I think it'll factor into some of these fights, and we can talk about it more specifically when we get to those fights. But from a broader perspective, being in the smaller cage then, like they are here in Vegas, how much, if at all, does that matter to you when you're breaking down these fights?
You know, it does matter, Kev, depending on the style matchup in the fight. Example. Do I think it's going to matter in the O'Malley fight? Probably not. Do I think it's going to matter in Cormier-Stipe? Yeah, I think it will. So it really all depends. I think any wrestler has a legitimate advantage in that cage that I think is about 5 feet smaller. So it's just easier to get your hands on somebody and take them down. And I guess, you know, technically in the opposite regard, anybody that loves to dance around the cage and use their footwork from range on the outside might have a little bit smaller or a little bit harder of a time, because it's just less surface area to work with.
All right, Jay, let's get into this. You said the size of the cage may matter in the main event. You said you've been looking forward to it for a long time, and it is round three of a trilogy. DC got the job done in the first one. Stipe came back, and I guess this was even when, like, Brock Lesnar coming in the ring and stuff like that. This is crazy. We've got DC and Stipe for the third time. Cormier, a -116 favorite, at least right now, with our friends and partners on FanDuel. How do you see this one breaking out?
I'm psyched, man. It should be Cormier's last fight. I truly believe the fight will define both legacies. If Stipe wins, he's undisputedly the greatest heavyweight champion of all time in the history of the sport. If Cormier wins, it puts him at the very least in the conversation for the greatest combat sports athlete ever. We know DC takes the first, and in that second fight, he goes into that fourth round probably up 3-0. So that was before Miocic makes the adjustment in round four, right? In round four, he decides to start ripping the body. He throws that left hook to the body 16 times and crumples them. They're in the smaller cage now. If I'm in Cormier's corner, I'm telling him, listen, man, you have to use the Olympic wrestling much more in this fight than in the first two. Now, Daniel Cormier has proven that he can hang on the feet with Stipe 100%. But I believe that since Cormier has the extra avenue to win this fight, he needs to take advantage of it. Now, Stipe has taken every opportunity that he's had in the octagon, aside from fighting Cormier. Stipe's gotten his opponent to the mat, except DC. And there's a reason for that. So this is what I think. Biggest factor for Stipe is the chin. In the first fight, he comes in off the Ngannou fight 6 months prior. Cormier hits that button pinpoint perfect. He drops him, right? Now, in the second fight, Stipe wore that damage much better because he had that 1 year layoff. And I think that Stipe's chin probably will not be affected again because he's had a long layoff. Now, on the flip side, there was also extenuating circumstances for Cormier. He had back surgery months before that second fight. He said that's why he didn't lean on his wrestling much in that fight. So now they both come in prepared, healthy. The smaller cage should matter for Cormier if he decides to chain takedown attempts and control the fight. So I think, this is what I think, boys. I think it's so hard to call. I think it's so hard to call, okay? But the angle that I love in the fight is that I am very confident that we see 10 minutes in this fight. So fight to start round three is minus 160, and I really believe that there's value in that line based on everything we know from these two guys in the first two matchups. I'm throwing out that knockout in the first round in the first fight. I think we're going to probably see round three or four in this fight. I feel good about it. If you had to pin me down on a side, I guess I have the slightest of leans to DC that he just... He can hang with them on the feet. If he decides to lean on that wrestling in the cage, if he wants to take him down, he's taking him down. There's nothing Stipe can do about it. So a slight lean to Cormier, and I will definitely have a bet on fight starts round three at minus 160.
Well, I'm very interested here, Jay. I mean, this fight is awesome, right? We've been waiting for this trilogy. There's so much at stake for both of these guys. And, you know, we see the line at the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 116 Cormier, minus 102 Stipe, right? Like, a lot of times high-profile fights, but the line will tell you that one guy is massively favored over the other. And here we have what is almost a pick'em. But you mentioned if you had to lean, you'd lean Cormier. And I feel like if I had to lean, I think I confidently might lean Cormier. Maybe I'm buying a little too much into what he's selling, but he's almost been laughing about the idea that they're going to be in this smaller cage, about what he's going to be able to do and what his plan is in terms of wrestling. And Cormier feels very serious that this is going to be his last fight. And I don't think he's going to get lax. You mentioned he was up 3-0 going into the fourth round of that last fight. So am I crazy to feel, though, that maybe there is value there on Cormier? I know Stipe's dangerous. I don't want to take anything away from Stipe. But because of what Cormier is saying and how he plans to attack this from a wrestling perspective, I don't know what Stipe's supposed to do to stop it.
I 100% agree with you that there's value on the side of Cormier. What nobody talks about is, yes, he was up 3-0 in that second fight. All on the feet. Didn't really take him down, I think, except possibly that first round for the last couple of minutes he took him down. Coming off that back surgery, as somebody that's had five back surgeries, it's rough, man. So, I mean, the fact that he's going to be fully healthy there, and he got through a grueling training camp and said the back feels great. And then if you look at what the line was in the prior fights, the first fight, Cormier's a plus 210 dog. The second fight, I think Cormier was a plus 170 dog. And now here he sits at like minus 110. I think that, you know, there's respect for Daniel Cormier now based on what we have seen. And personally, I thought he should have been the favorite in both the first and second fight because I just think higher of him as a mixed martial artist than I do Stipe Miocic. Stipe is just an incredible boxer, man, in MMA. Daniel Cormier is the whole package. So, yeah, I agree, Kev. I do think that there's value. We know that Cormier can hang with him on the feet, and we know he has a massive edge in wrestling. So all that spells, yeah, I think there's value on Cormier.
Let me ask you one more question kind of about how this fight might end. There's a couple of different ways you can play this at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Will the fight go the distance is plus 182. And on the how fight will end prop, knockout is minus 170. Maybe it's just me. I'm a little surprised how confident they are that there is a stoppage in this fight. Are you? Do you believe it is somewhat of a guarantee that we are actually going to see one of these guys put the other to the mat?
I think, listen, in a heavyweight fight, it's in a 25-minute fight, it's really hard for one of these guys with the size that they are to not hit the button once and drop somebody when you have that much weight behind you. That being said, based on what we've seen, I do think that there is a chance, at the very least, that this can go 25 minutes. I mean, we were deep in round four, man, until Stipe decided to use that left hook. If I have one concern about Cormier, I'll tell you this. It's his body seemed really soft. When Stipe started ripping those hooks into his stomach and his liver, that made me a little nervous. Like, well, if he starts doing that from the jump, is Cormier in trouble? So that is my only question about DC in this fight. But yeah, I do. Like I said, my favorite bet is fight starts round three. I think we're getting into round three and possibly four. And if that's the case, it could definitely go five. So plus 180. You know, normally in a five round heavyweight fight, that's probably like plus 300 or plus 400. Mm-hmm. So I do think they're giving some slight respect there to these guys. But yeah, it could definitely go the distance.
All right, here we go, Jay. That's a lot on Stipe and DC. We've got other fights we want to talk about. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back here on the early line, Jay, I need you to figure out how do I bet the Sugar Show? Because I want to, but I can't at minus 290. We'll figure out how when we come back right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the early line right here on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez, known as the Spit Statistician, and Kevin Walsh, as we put the fun in functional sports content. And we are continued to be joined by our guy, Jay, the Sports Gag CEO, with pay-per-view UFC 252 on the horizon for tomorrow. So we talked about the main event, Jay. You know, we talked about DC. We talked about Stipe, a slight lean to DC, but you think that fight will get into the third round at minus 160. I'm going to click submit on that a little bit later on. But I want to ask you about this guy, Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show. Kevin put me on to this guy a few fights ago, you know, and then with his knockout style and his hair, I'm all about it. I'm bought in. I'm all in, Jay. But you know I can't lay minus 290. And that's what it looks like he sits at now in what Kevin is telling me is going to be the toughest fight of his career so far against Marlon Vera. How do you see this one going? Am I crazy to want Sugar Show? And if so, how do I get it at a little bit less than minus 290?
I mean, you guys could be co-presidents of the O'Malley fan club, bro. All right. So, Sean.
Is it trouble for him, though, today? Is it trouble for him today, tomorrow?
The UFC must really love the kid, man. Third fight in 5 months for this kid. And, you know, for Dana White to give him a co-main event spot in a pay-per-view tells you all you need to know about what he thinks about him. Sean O'Malley is one of those few fighters that when you watch, there's something different about him in the cage. We've spoke about that early on when you would watch Conor at Cage Warriors or the first couple fights in the UFC. You could just tell he was special, and I get that vibe. Now, his striking is elite for somebody that's only 25 years old. His use of range is fantastic, and even though he has that slim frame, deceiving power, right? So he finally takes on a game opponent in Chito Vera. Certainly, I would say a step up in class for sure. Vera, we know, comes in off the Song Yadong loss. But I thought it was a really, really close fight. And you could have easily given that fight to Marlon Vera. So if you can say anything about Marlon Vera, it's the fact that he is a tough out. He's never been knocked out in his career, and he's a really scrappy step up in class. Extremely well-versed in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, has the black belt. He's had a ton of submissions inside the cage. I think Marlon Vera will be the first fighter in a while to drag O'Malley into the deeper waters. Do I think O'Malley wins the fight? Yes. However, I'm not laying the $3 like you don't want to, right? So I think everybody's going to be looking for the discount, and they're probably going to take O'Malley by knockout because he's been a highlight reel. I think Sean O'Malley wins a dominant decision, and Marlon Vera survives. Now, you can get Sean O'Malley at plus 195 on FanDuel by decision, and I think that's the way to go, man. I do think he wins. But, you know, Chito Vera's never been stopped in the UFC. He's a tough out. I think he can last 15 minutes.
Let me ask you this about Sean O'Malley. Because, look, you can't watch him and I think not somewhat think about Conor. And a lot of that comes, I think, from the composure that he seemingly has in the cage. So he's now here in the co-main, which is crazy when you look at it. Like, he's 14th. In bantamweight, Chito's not even ranked right now, and they're going on above a heavyweight fight that has two top 10 guys before them. It shows the power that he has there, and the composure doesn't make me worry about the spot. But if we're going to do the Conor comparisons, and let's go the full way with it, the one knock on Conor, maybe not the one knock, but one of the knocks on Conor, is the gas tank. Do we know enough about O'Malley's gas tank to feel confident if Chito successfully drags him into deeper waters?
I mean, you know, the last fight that we can really compare it to would be the Sukum Top fight where he broke his foot. And, you know, every time I've seen him in the third round of a fight, he's looked fresh. So, I mean, I really think that that's all that we can go on. I think the fact that it's his third fight in 5 months and he basically has not been out of a fight camp, really, in 5 months makes you think he's probably as conditioned as he's ever been. So I don't think that that will be an issue. Yeah, definitely an issue for Conor, but I don't think it'll be an issue for O'Malley.
All right, fair enough. You know, Kevin mentioned, Jay, that the Sugar Show is getting top billing, right? In the co-main, over top 10 heavyweights, over other kind of big names. And one of them is Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos, though, comes into this fight, Jay, as a dog, plus 112. How do you see this next fight?
Yeah, man. I mean, have you guys seen pictures of what JDS looks like? I mean, the guy's in the best shape of his life. First time I've ever seen him ripped. That said, he still has a chin that's been touched and cracked. He comes in off back-to-back knockout losses against Curtis Blaydes and Francis Ngannou. The question becomes, can he avoid being knocked out a third straight time by an extremely scary guy in Rozenstruik? For a long time, We know JDS probably had the best pocket boxing in the sport. That changed when Stipe started proving himself. You know, his opponent, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, who I am a huge fan of. Now, he is 1-1 in his last two fights. Probably should be 0-2. He gets that last second win against Overeem when he lost every round, and then he gets embarrassed by Ngannou in 30 seconds. All that said, I love Rozenstruik. People don't realize how special of a kickboxer he was. You know, multiple world champions, like 67-8 as a kickboxer. He has the one-punch power, but these guys that have the one-punch power, like him, like Derek Lewis, they fall into the trap that all heavyweights fall into. They don't throw combinations. They don't throw volume because they're always looking for that kill shot. And if the kill shot comes, they win. And if it doesn't come, they probably lose a decision. I just think, you know, JDS is at the end of an extremely accomplished career. Rozenstruik, a really hungry guy, trying to make a name for himself and get back up into title contentions. I like him. Now, I thought the line was going to move towards Rozenstruik all week. It has not. It has done the opposite of what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I can only assume it's because JDS has the name recognition and Rozenstruik comes in off that loss against Ngannou. But my money will be on Rozenstruik. I like him in this spot. I think he gets it done.
I kind of want to actually take this fight to somewhat pull us back to the main event, if I may, because every time I feel like I look through these heavyweight fights, knocked out by Ngannou. Like, what he did to Rozenstruik was ridiculous, right? JDS fits the same billing. Look, I know Cormier's kind of been looking to get out for a while, and Stipe, obviously, everything that he does out of the octagon plays a factor into that. Do you think that they're a part of the reason that these two might want to hang it up is because they don't want to get into a ring with Francis? And if either one of them is around after this fight, you'd think the next fight is Francis. Do you think either of them has a shot? Or is Francis, you know, by the, say, the year's end, going to have that belt around his waist?
I think that if Cormier wins the title, he's done, and they would have to offer him an absolutely absurd amount of money to get back in that cage and do it one more time with Ngannou. If Stipe wins, then you're going to see Stipe and Ngannou too. Now, in the first fight, Stipe won. He used that wrestling. But all that said, since that loss that Ngannou took, he's like now like Francis Ngannou 2.0. I don't think that Stipe would win a rematch. So my gut says, yeah, the next time that Ngannou fights for the title, it's going to be really hard to bet against him. Yeah, he's a freak.
He's insane.
So Kevin asked the question and Jay answered with, yeah, pretty much. Jay, we only got a minute or two left here, okay? I know we talked about all the big-time fights on this card, but I know you stay up late watching tape of all of these fights. Okay, so I hear you already. The main event to start round three. I hear you with Sugar Show by decision. I did look also. Sugar Show by decision is like plus 195. Sugar Show by knockout is like plus 160-something. You almost could lay them both and just think that he doesn't win by, you know, submission, which is not his kind of want in one way. And then it does seem like you're on Rozenstruik in this other fight over Dos Santos. Let me ask you, anything else on the card you like? Any plus money on the card you like? Female fights? Anything else you want to throw out to the people here on the early line?
I'll tell you, from a betting perspective, I don't love the card. But I would say I'm not a fan of Ashley Yoder. So I think the minus 160 on Souza, probably a little value there. Jimmy Miller is plus 112 against Pichel. I would say in that fight, you either look to take Jim Miller by submission in round one, and or you take Pichel to win the fight. I think that Jim's got a chance in the first 5 minutes. I think after that, Pichel probably starts to take over. Other than that, man, I lean TJ Brown minus 150 against Danny Chavez. You know, Daniel Pineda at plus 245. Could potentially be a live dog against Herbert Burns. If you want to throw some McDonald's money on that, you never know. Aside from that, I would say that's probably all I'm looking at.
All right. Well, don't sweat it, Jay, because you always help us out here on the grid and on the early line. We love having you on every Friday morning. We're going to keep it going as much as we can through the summer. And then, Jay, once football starts, I know you love the NFL as well. Hopefully the NFL plays, and we could do that on Football Fridays. Because honestly, Jay, they may play Saturdays also at this pace. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it doesn't look like college is going to get going. So there'll be no shortage of things for us to talk about, Jay, as we head into the fall. Thanks for joining us, as usual, on a Friday morning. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Anytime, fellas.
All right, sounds good. Jay, the Sports Keg CEO, Kevin. He's had 5 back surgeries himself. Talking about understanding that Cormier now feeling healthy, laughing, being able to wrestle in the smaller cage. It sounds like the perfect storm for DC.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're going to get into a potential 4th, 5th round with a guy with like Stipe's power, it's a dangerous game.
It is.
I am buying what Cormier is selling, man. The confidence that he's exuding and knowing the ability that he has to take Stipe down, there truly might not be anything that Stipe can. And let me just tell you this as well. They're not being fans actually can help Cormier, because he won't get caught up in being booed for sitting on Stipe for 5 rounds. He won't care. No one will be booing him. And he'll potentially be winning this title back and then being able to retire on top.
Cormier, hey, fair enough.
The minus 116, man, I think that's very workable. Though it's a great point that Jay brought up about what those prices were the first 2 go-rounds.
That's true. And also, I look at it, and if I want to put in a little DC with a little O'Malley with a little Rosenstruck, that together as a 3-fight parlay gets you to +340 on the sports day, FanDuel Sportsbook. If you want to add in Souza, who we liked at minus 160, you get a 4-fight parlay at +608. We'll tie a nice little bow on this episode and the week of the early line when we come right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here on Sports Grid to the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. But you got to keep it locked all day long. Right after us is the morning after. And, you know, if you want to hear more speeds, I got you. Okay, but we will have Ariel Epstein on hosting the morning after. And Ariel, incredible stuff in the NBA yesterday, right? The drama with Portland, Caris LeVert almost sending the Portland Trailblazers home. There are still games on the slate today in the NBA, although they don't really matter. I want to ask you this, Ariel. Indiana is playing Miami. They will see each other in the first round of the playoffs. However, the higher seed will have their fans on the video wall for more of the games. You think that's enough for them to play for and give a full effort today?
I think that what's more important is that these players' families will at least have one family member in the crowd. That's going to have more of an impact. No offense to any of the fans. I think that if you're trying to bet on sports today, the NBA is the last sport you should look at. I'd rather you bet on table tennis than go try to bet the NBA today. You can wait for the weekend. You could wait for next week. Save your money.
I feel just like Howie.
Some interesting DFS options, though. I will say that. Go ahead.
I disagree. When Mike Francesa is telling him, he's like, that's the stupidest bet I ever. I disagree. Ariel, talk to me, though. What do you got coming up on TMA today?
I don't even think Jared Smith and I will be able to get a word in. We have so many guests coming on the show today. Mafia and Carver coming on from coast to coast. They're going to talk about UFC and hockey. We also have Jim Sonnes to talk about NASCAR, as NASCAR is getting towards the end of the season, the regular season.
Wow.
And, of course, we'll break down Major League Baseball and those hockey playoffs. Along with golf, actually, we have Steve Elkington coming on as well to talk about the Wyndham Championship this weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome. You got golf. We got UFC this weekend as well. Champions League and soccer. I know Jared is plugged into that. And you know what? I'd be willing to bet that Jared will be able to get a word in edgewise. Don't you worry about that, Ariel. And to keep it going right here on Sports Grid, Morning After is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.